ngicela uhambe uyofuna umsebenzi.
Uzoyithola kanjani hlelo khoneni?
Yonke into, impahla, imali.
This adulting thing, hey.
Uhamba imali?
Wizi nake ithoka challenge.
Awuna moto? Imali. Fanele kube nemali phakathi.
Sebenza.
Sebenza.
Yavamta nam.
Sebenza.
Welcome to another episode of Sebenza Live. I hope you guys are really having a great week. How are you doing, Dozo?
Awesome.
That was a bit of a stutter there. Like, are you sure you're good?
I am. It's just that I needed to find the words of how I feel.
I know I'm usually like, oh, I'm okay, I'm nice.
Yeah.
I never lie. If I'm having a bad day, I'm having a bad day. You always know that.
Yeah.
Okay, but
we
okay, let's brush these bad days aside.
Yeah.
Today we have Phumzile Zibane. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thanks. How are you guys?
We're great.
That's good.
Now, let's jump right into it. Who is Phumzile? In case for those who don't know, what do you do?
Okay. So, Phumzile Zibane, I work for a company called Quest Software. I'm the channel and commercial sales manager. So that's basically me. Do you want me to give you a bit of background as well?
What does that entail? Before we go into the background, what does that entail?
Okay, so basically I look after the channel, which is resellers which sell our software. Mm. And I also look after the distribution, which distributes our software to the market. So that also involves, you know, having a look at what other players are doing and making sure that you're giving the resellers the correct tools to take to market.
You know, when I told my parents, okay, I'm doing journalism, they were like, oh, really? I got that one, but there was almost a thing like, oh, can't you be a lawyer or something interesting? What was the reaction you got growing up? Was this always the career you had in mind?
No, funny enough, it wasn't. So when I was growing up, I had this mindset that I'll be an accountant or be involved in finance or you know, something more serious, let me put it that way. Mm-hmm. But realized later in life, nah, this is not me. Mm-hmm. It so happened that my first job was a receptionist, right? Which my mother had actually organized through the boss that she was working for. Mm. Shortly after that, I got promoted into a procurement manager, which really involved a lot of dealings with suppliers, people, and I think I'm a people's person. I like the public relations. I like talking. And I realized accounting's not going to fly. Mm. Later on, I moved on to another company where I was in real estate. So that really involved dealing with customers, dealing with people, and trying to always negotiate and obviously making money. And then the passion grew. I wanted to go to Joburg because everybody says, that's where, you know, you get money. You know, there's this perception when you're coming from KZN, there's this perception that, no, you must go to Joburg to make it in life. So I moved over to a company called Sage Software, previously called Pastel, right? That where my software interest started from, right? We used to supply accounting software to departments and as well as partners. That really involve me dealing with partners, negotiating for them and their customers. And then later on, I moved on again because I wanted more money and to grow. And growing meant that either the manager that I reported to at the time needs to die or, you know, fall away for me to get promoted. And it wasn't going to happen. Mm. So looked around and I moved over to a company also doing software, right? It's been quite an interesting journey. I've grown a lot there. It was a multinational organization. I got to travel abroad. I got to see the world. I got to, conversate with people from different cultures as well. And, shortly, about 6 months ago, I moved over to Quest, and that's where I am. I head up the channel there, and as I explained earlier, I look after distribution and as well as our partners, and making sure that we always aligned with what other vendors are doing be competitive as much as we can.
You're climbing levels, you're traveling the world. Yeah. I mean, at some point, I'm sure the buzzword of the of I'm not gonna say the year of the decade perhaps is the fourth industrial revolution. You must come across it a lot.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that?
It's really
especially in the country.
Really amazing times for us as you know, we're going into this new chapter, as well as it opens up big time opportunities. We've always been, you know, a bit behind with the world as South Africans, and I think this is going to bring a lot, and it's also going to open a lot of channels for our up and growing kids, you know. what else? Yeah, so yeah, it's really, really exciting times.
Do you think we're catching up in time?
No. We are so far behind.
I want to ask this question. How far behind is far behind for us?
So I'll give you an example.
Tortoise kind of behind, like snail kind of behind.
I think we act when there's a problem.
Okay.
You know, we act when there's a problem. We ignore the awareness, right? I think you guys probably know about the Poppy Act that everybody's been singing, that it's coming through, and that hasn't fallen into place. And if you look at how many organizations are currently being breached, and how many times you hear that people's data has been leaked, how many times you get a phone call from somebody who knows you know, and what are we doing to, you know, overcome these challenges and prevent these challenges? So why I say we're so behind, I think you look at you know, UK and you know, the states of the world. Yes, they are having breaches, but the awareness is there and they're doing something around it. It's just that the criminals are always a step ahead. So, but, you know, they've set the boundaries, right? Or they've set the perimeter so that, you know, they can be protected. I go and sit in a meeting in South Africa and speak to a security manager or a CISO or a CIO. And I say to them, guys, you are in risk. Let's look at this. Let's try and rectify this. You're going to be in trouble. And they don't act. And then when there's a problem, then all of a sudden they want to give you a call and say, let's do this fast. But damage, the brand damage is already done, right? People's information is out there. You look at a recent one that happened now with City of Johannesburg. How did that happen if they've got a whole team of, you know, people who do research and try and protect their organization or their IP, you know? So it's still a long way, but I think we'll get there. So, I mean, it's an opportunity for us as, you know, technology providers. So if somebody's got a problem, that's an opportunity for us, yeah.
That kind of excites me a little as well. It's a great business opportunity for many young people.
Yeah.
Do you feel enough young kids, especially women, are being pushed towards going into these kind of careers?
No. So I think we'll get there eventually. Mm-hmm. However, I'll take you through my, you know, my career growing up and getting to the level that I am at right now. It's been a, she's young. Oh, geez, she's black. Oh, does she know what she's talking about? And you also like don't have, you feel like, no, maybe this was not cut out for me. And what I would say is that you need to speak out. You know, if it's not it, it's not it. You know, and if you have to sit in front of an old person that's been in that seat for a very long time, and they want to dispute, because that's the other thing that we face as South Africans, we have a lot of legacy. How can I even put this? We've got a lot of legacy things that we need to let go of. We are going into a world where transformation is leading. We're talking digitalization. We shouldn't be hanging on to old legacy things that are going to hold us back. If you look at, I mean, nowadays you look at kids, I mean, playing in tablets, you know, the mind wants to know, the mind is eager, let them, you know, and I think as well as for our kids, they always try and, if mom says, nah, you should have been a doctor, then you follow that. Mm. But your passion is to knowing what's new, knowing what's happening, what is happening around us. You look at social media, it's all driven through digitalization, you know. So I'd suggest that if you are a young person and you're looking at industries that you can potentially grow in, look at IT. You know, as much as they say math, science, and whatnot is hard.
Mm. It is hard.
Truth is, it's hard. But what happens? You know, what happens? What you can do with it?
That's true.
And we're not going, if you look at, as I said, digitalization and whatnot, how does it benefit a person that probably is in construction? I'm just, you know, thumbsucky they thought, yeah. Not much. There's nothing much exciting about it that you can do, right? But when you know that constant development is being done, right? We have a big shortage of skill in development, right? We don't have developers. But you don't see a lot of kids going that route, right? You don't see a lot of women investing in that. I think it's very important before you actually choose your career, you know, and I'd suggest that young women or older women that are in this sector needs to, you know, guide upcoming people, or more women need to start investing or looking at the sector.
Okay, we're going to take a short break very quickly. I'm going to jump right more into this topic. I think
we're
burning up a lot of questions
one.
Here.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll be right back. Just a few words.
All right, sure.
Racial identity politics. A phrase that has the potential to start an argument in just about any situation. That's why we're starting it first. Let's Start an Argument is a unique and insightful podcast series about the meaning of race to us today. Presented by researcher Cecilia Koch and Doctor of Philosophy Jason Werbeloff, the series aims to spark rational argument and meaningful discussion around this controversial topic. Find Let's Start an Argument now on the Cliff Central app, cliffcentral.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, guys, I'm quite excited. Because we had a question.
I had a question.
Burning in your mind.
Yeah. It was. As a young black female, obviously, I just wanted to ask you, Ubutiye, like, how do you say, okay, this is a career for me? You know, we say people should be like in IT, people should be, you know, dream big. Mm. But we all know, Ubutiye, you need to have a self-esteem to do that. You need to believe in yourself. And coming from black backgrounds where majority, not even people far away from me, but your family will be like, asinayo umuntu in our family. Why are you going that route? You know, like, that's already bringing the person down, you know. So what would you say to young girls, if you believe in that, make sure this is how you also need to act, or this is how you need to showcase, I am gonna make it no matter what others say.
I agree. I go back home quite often, and I think I'm pretty open and transparent. And then back at home as a black person, you always have to be respectful. You can't challenge an older person, and you can't back chat at people, you know. And I think that's, for us, is a bit of a disadvantage. I think when I started as well, like I said earlier on, I'd be so respectful, and because I didn't know, what the future holds, and I can't just go and disrespect people. Not that I do, but once you know something is right, and once you know this is what I believe in, stand by that. Right? If you have to challenge somebody, challenge them, but with facts. Don't go into a meeting unprepared, right? I didn't come here unprepared. First thing I said, who am I actually engaging with? What do they do? right? Okay, let me do some background. Mm. Okay, so always be prepared. In IT, you need to be prepared. You need to do your research, right? And if somebody wants to challenge you, please, I've seen a lot of people going into depression because they're being bullied by people that have been in the industry for a very long time, and you don't wanna get into that hole. And once you're in that hole, it takes you a while to get out. You know, so stand for what you believe in, and always do research. There's nothing worse than going into a meeting with a person and they don't know what they're doing, because people are going to go for you.
Go for you.
Yeah, exactly. So once you've set your mark, no one will ever try you, you know.
I'm particularly curious about something you mentioned earlier on, and how you sort of navigated the spaces where you were working.
Yes.
And the difficulties you faced.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have a personal account of either if it's from a gender perspective or racial perspective in the workplace and the struggles that you had.
Yes, it's been a struggle, especially, you know, going into a meeting and trying to pitch to a male. For an example, this is what I do, you know, this is where I come from. You set up a meeting with a certain person and they'll be like, oh, okay, who are you? You know, and already that time you've lost your interest, you know. So, and they would listen to you, but you'll have challenges. They'll try and challenge you. They'll try and make you look stupid, you know. And what you do about it, you know, is what matters. I've had instances where I've had to turn some of those negative instances to opportunities. I've had challenges where I left an organization and went into a competitor and was literally treated like a thief, you know, where you get told, pack your bags right now and go because you're going into an opposition. Why is that? Hey, you've had people before leaving the organization and going into opposition. I understand that other companies have, you know, rules and regulations. If you're going into, you know, competition, this is what applies. This is what will apply. However, this was never an issue. And now all of a sudden, since Phumzile Zibani is leaving, she must be treated like that. So, so I mean, those things, they really, really cause, you know, concerns, especially in an industry where it's male dominated, right? How do you deal with it, you know?
That's the next question. How did you deal with those situations?
And is it only male? Because I feel like also females themselves can be in a competition on their own, you know?
Yeah. So you reminded me of something. I once worked for an organization which is women only, right? Family-based company. And they were trying to use me for their BE status, you know.
Wow.
And I'm like, we still have a long way to go.
Yeah.
But if I was vulnerable, I could have jumped on that. But why would I put myself through that? Why would I put myself onto a BE and go look pretty? And I still see a lot of organizations doing this, you know, where they're saying, it's, you know, maybe it's public sector, whatever, no, a black person must go. No, why? Why?
How do you find the power to say no?
So it took me a while. I think that's something that you have to actually deal with as you grow, maybe. Because I used to be very nice.
I used to be nice. I'm saying you're looking at this is the friendliest person we've ever seen.
So
I used to be very nice, but don't challenge me when you don't have facts. You know, we will have our arguments, but I will challenge you with facts. And don't come to me and want to make me look stupid, because I'm going to make you look stupid. You know, and I think back to your question around how did I deal with, you know, moving on after being treated the way that I got treated at my former employer. I remember, you know, working for this organization, having been pressured every day about my way about the micromanagement. You know, guys, we are all adults. We know what we need to do. We know that we all have to feed our families and get paid. Now I felt like a prisoner. You know, I felt like I have to be at the office at like 6 o'clock or whenever I'm required to be at the office. But when frustrated, am I adding value? No, I'm not. You know, I'm so frustrated. The only thing I can think of is getting out of there, you know. And, you know, you actually go into a hole where you get so depressed. And you actually can't even explain to people what it is that you're dealing with. I remember, and it was during a time that I lost my father, having been stressed by a company, which we shouldn't allow, right? Ended up going to a psychologist, you know, and saying, you know what, I can't deal with everything that's happening. I've lost my father. This company is so demanding, and, you know. And she said, you know, you need to take it step by step. I'll put you on antidepressants. And I was like, no. Hang on. No. I don't live on tablets. She's like, no, it'll make you calm. That's when I made a decision. I need to get out. This I cannot live on tablets.
You're adding drugs into my life. How is that?
Now I have to live on something. I can't just think on my own. I need something to stabilize my brain, you know? And that's when I made a decision. At the point, I was busy with interviews to move on to another company. I didn't even wait. They didn't even have to finalize that, yes, you've got the job. I said, no, that's it. That's it, I'm done. And I left. So honestly, if it's not working, try and find something else that makes you happy. The last thing you want to do is to frustrate yourself. A lot of people are killing themselves these days because of depression, guys. And nobody ever talks about it.
A silent killer.
A silent killer. Don't allow a job to drive you into that. It needs to be a passion, you know? I look at myself right now and say, geez, where was this job all this time? You know, because I get to do what I want. I get to speak to people. I get to convince them about what it is that we do. I get to make money in the process. I get to travel the world. You know, there was just no need for me to put myself through that. You know?
What advice would you give to a young Phumzile out there, him or her, about navigating these spaces where they might feel I'm undervalued, I'm being made to feel a certain way, and I'm really at the lowest point. Do I even belong here? What advice can you give to them to sort of really push through and make it?
Okay. The one thing I'll go back to again is always believe in yourself. You know, it's very important. If something doesn't sound right, it doesn't sound right. Don't go into a meeting and a person asks you, so what's in it for me? And you sleep with the person, you know. And that's that. Seriously. You will get questions like that. Like, what's in it for me? It's either money.
Nothing. Or is I it... came here to work.
Yes. So it's either you lose the deal completely. Don't associate yourself with such, you know. And the challenge about being bullied, it will take time, and I know as blacks, we always have to respect, whether it's male or white people. We've been taught that way, and we kind of need to like let go of that. I'm not saying disrespect people, but I'm saying what I'm saying is
find the right words to speak out for yourself.
Exactly, find the right words, make your mark, and be heard. You know, else you're gonna drown.
Well, especially living in an age now, you know, where social media is a great way to express yourself. What advice would you actually give to other people out there in terms of what to put out in such situations? Because I always hear of employees going like, "Oh gosh, my boss today, what the hell, WTF?" You know, what advice would you give there?
Oh, geez. I would say people need to stay away from social media when it comes to personal lives. It's very dangerous. I think nowadays, especially in our space, an employer, before they even interview you, they'll go through your Facebook profile, your Instagram profile, and whatever you say on social media will be used against you. You know, I'm here right now whatever I say right now could make or break me. Do you understand? And it's very important. I mean, let's just post photos, guys, and don't go and dent your career. That thing will stay forever. That's the problem that people don't realize. I mean, I spoke to my cousin last week. He's been posting all these funny photos. And I said to him, do you realize that you are in matric and you're still going to varsity and you're still going to be looking for a job? And whoever looks at your profile, what do you think sees? Because that's the first thing people see about you. Mm. What you post on social media, already they think that's you. You know, so slow down, guys. I know it's exciting for your friends to know what you're doing, but you don't want to appear to employers as a drunkard who's always hanging out in pubs or, you know, checking in and showing flesh. You know, it's very. I'd say people need to just tone it down. How many times has it gotten people into trouble?
True.
You know,
and just to close it off. What can people expect from Quest coming soon? If they want to reach out to you guys, out to you specifically, what they want to do in terms of work and...
Okay. So we're doing a lot of exciting stuff. Uh-huh. So Quest globally, we've got an agreement with Microsoft. So as I'm not sure if you do follow the news around the IT space, Microsoft has now launched data centers in country. Mm-hmm. So whoever wants to move into cloud can start doing their migration. So Quest does the migration component at the back of the Microsoft tools. We've been speaking to a lot of organizations still sitting on prem. Mm. And as I said, everything is now moving into cloud. We always a step ahead, trying to make sure that we align with what other vendors are doing.
Everything's just going online. It's really, it's driving me crazy. Well, I freak out. Pumze, thank you so much for joining us. I think we had a very illuminating conversation today.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about it, actually. And let us know what you think at Sabenza Live on Twitter and at Sabenza Live on Instagram.